hail from service providers. Well, to help us unpack the implications, so we're now joined on the line by, let's take a look. We have, who's our guest? It's Lebohang Mobadikane, who's the Director of Competition Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you for having me.
What would you say are the key takeaways of the Competition Commission's first cost of living report?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, I think the report sort of paints a bit of a sad, somewhat sad and alarming picture regarding the cost of living in South Africa. What the report basically says is that the cost of living in South Africa has gotten quite high over the last 5 year period. And specifically, I mean, if you look at the cost of essential goods and services such as electricity and water, those costs have gone up by 50% and then in some instances by around 65%. And that essentially that type of rise in pricing has got a very negative impact on low-income households because they're now under more pressure to pay to spend more on goods that they essentially can't do without. And I think all of this is happening in the backdrop of an economy that is sluggish in South Africa, as well as a high unemployment rate. So what the Competition Commission, in my view, deems as low-income households could potentially even be no-income households, Peter.
So, I mean, it's great to come out with reports like this, but what can they do to help us actually in the end?
So, I mean, it depends with, with which lens you're looking at this. So if you're asking specifically what can the competition do with these types of findings, the competition powers the commission to do a whole lot of things in terms of just intervening where there could very well be anti-competitive behavior in any market in South Africa. So using this example, the Competition Commission, I think, is basically laying the foundation for taking a closer look at the competition practices in markets which provide these essential goods and services, including the food market, for example. You would have seen earlier this year, I think it was in January this year, that the Commission published its final report in the food produce market, where the Commission basically did a market inquiry. A market inquiry, Peter, in terms of, is basically established in terms of the Act, and it is essentially an inquiry as to the state of competition in a market broadly, without necessarily investigating the conduct of a specific firm. But having done so, having done that market-wide investigation, then the Commission is empowered to make findings against specific firms in that market and make recommendations which could potentially then be implemented by those firms. So if the commission then has these findings and that, prices in a market look a bit high and they establish a link between those prices and anti-competitive practices in that market, then the commission is able to potentially prosecute the entities that are responsible for that anti-competitive conduct in a particular market.
So that's the competitive space, but I guess the administered prices, the state and other regulators can also be guided because probably they're functioning in isolation, looking at their particular areas. But when you put it all together, government can have a role to play to help people's cost of living.
That's actually quite true. Again, linking back to the commission's work, I mean, I must commend the Competition Commission. They've done really great work. If you go back to the same fresh produce market inquiry that I referred to, the one that's got a report that was published in January this year, What the commission actually finds is that when it comes to fresh produce, so we're looking at those fruit and veggie markets, right, which are some of them are actually run by municipalities. And one of the findings that the commission makes is that there are inefficiencies in the running of these markets, which render it difficult for small businesses and or rather for small business run type of farming entities, as well as historically disadvantaged farmers, to be able to participate in those markets, right? And the reason why that's important is because those efficiencies, so says the commission, are as a result of certain municipal inabilities or inefficiencies that come from some of the legislative framework that the municipalities are working within in order to establish these markets. So the reason why I think this is an important finding made by the Competition Commission in this context is that it goes to show that even though the commission does its work, and even though the commission maybe in some instances in fact finds that there's anti-competitive conduct by entities that are involved in those markets, the reality is that where government is able to create an environment for competition through legislation or certain other interventions, the government should do so. Because once the government has done so, then the Competition Commission is able to then police the conduct of firms in those industries much better, knowing that all regulatory and other governmental types of impediments have been removed, which may hinder competition, and therefore the focus would be solely on the behavior of the firms in those markets.
Lebohang, we're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. But thank you so much indeed for unpacking
Well,
this cost of living report for us, which I guess we didn't need to know the details. We live it every single day. But thanks so much indeed for the highlights and the
yeah.
big picture.
No. Thank you very much, Peter. Thanks.
That's Lebohang Mabi Dikane, who's the director in the competition law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, speaking to us about this Competition Commission's cost of living report. Asanda, it's Thursday. And every Thursday, what
We
happens?
have podcasts.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And this week, focus on Cameroon. I speak to a political analyst who essentially, and one of the key questions that I asked him was, has Paul Biya faced his toughest test in getting over this election hurdle, or and he's got a clear way? And he says to me that it was a tough test, but he does suspect that there could be tougher tests to come, especially when it comes to the municipal elections, so parliamentary elections that are going to follow. So we'll have to wait and see, but to find out a little bit later on as we upload this week's episode of the Channel Africa Conversations
And also on this Thursday is On the Move, coming up after Rise and Shine here on Channel Africa. Benjamin joins us now to tell us what we can expect. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good,
How are you
thank you.
doing?
You shaved your hair.
I did, long time ago.
Was that was it
It's
like this
actually
yesterday?
grown. Yes, it was like this
Oh,
yesterday.
you were wearing a hat yesterday. I didn't
Yeah.
see it.
Hello, Brother Benjamin.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah.
Oh, no, for me, Paul Biya, he has just survived. I think he has survived the first toughest test. I think the next toughest test is going to be the legislative elections, because of course that's what many are waiting for. Then the next equally as well is because many young Cameroonians and many Cameroonians, quite honestly, feel that this is a mandate of transition. Many do not feel that this is a mandate which am I particularly